Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, March the 5th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the fourth Sunday in Lent, and on the Tuesday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in Psalm 107. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then jump ahead and read verses 17 through 22. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, and the verses 17 through 22. Acclaim the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness is forever. Let the Lord's redeemed one say, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe and gathered them from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Fools, because of their sinful ways, because of their misdeeds, they were afflicted. All food their throat rejected, they came to the gates of death. And they cried to the Lord from their straits, from their distress, he rescued them. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their pit. Let them acclaim to the Lord his kindness and his wonders to humankind, and offer thanksgiving sacrifices and recount his deeds in glad song. This is the word of God for us. All right, so the suggestion from the scholars is that Psalm 107 is, as it begins, the last book of the Psalms. I got more of this, the post-exile Psalms that they found in the Israelite worshiping community. And because of that, they have some different themes that emerge. Just keeping in mind, like when these folks came back from exile in Babylon, that they probably had a pretty sober mindset of who they were and maybe how tender it was to live together in the land that God promised them. They probably wanted to rehearse the covenant shape of the waning parts of Deuteronomy, which talked about blessings for obedience and hardship and curses if they were to wander from God's ways. And so some of the literature that we have in the Psalms is to remind themselves of that God is a covenant-keeping God. He's also a God of purity. And so the themes of purity and piety come up in this section of the Psalter. And so the Psalm starts out with this communal thanksgiving that belongs to God. It probably was sung as the people were entering into the worship space and calling themselves to worship in verses 1 through 3. And then it has some different sections in Psalm 107, and we jumped ahead to verses 17 through 22, and it talks about how there seems to be this integrity between one's physical imprisonment and freedom and one's spiritual freedom or imprisonment. And so there's like this teaching that goes out in Psalm 107, starting with verse 17. And some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And so ultimately, God is a redeemer. And there's simply this investigation that humanity, we seem to find ourselves in snares. And when we find ourselves in snares, the wise among us will cry out to God, will cry out for help, and we'll find a place of freedom because of it, that we won't continue to have calamity upon calamity if we find that we can bring ourselves to the community of the redeemed and ultimately into God's care. And so I just think this is probably an ever-present lesson for this people coming back to reestablish the commonwealth. They wanted to be a people of purity. We do know through the intertestamental period that there was some hardships because of different empires that came in. And so all of these purity movements began to sweep over Israel. Right? You had the Essenes who removed themselves from civilization. They felt like if they got into seclusion, that they'd be less tempted of their sin. You had the Pharisees who were trying to be uphold the law of God to the letter. Then you had the Sadducees that wanted to maintain the property. They wanted to maintain the land of promise. And so they were hoping to keep it within the family system units of the people of Israel. And so all this was like this craving not to experience this wholesale exile, this being brought from the promised land. They felt like they just wanted to find a way not to be enslaved. But the language of the second temple period, all the way up through the time of Jesus and afterwards, is this continual meditation on why are we under the cloud of pain and suffering? Why can't we ultimately be saved? And this is a roaring conversation they have all the way to like AD 135, when Jerusalem is smashed once again, and all of Judaism basically goes to synagogue, and synagogue-centric, and becomes more mobile, and their hopes of worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem begins to erode completely, right? But this is something that the early Christians would have sparred with. They would have tried to draw people's attention back to Jesus. This is at the very heart of what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He talked about how like the Holy One came among them and they resisted him. We go to a place like Acts 10 and Acts 13, when there's like this preaching of trying to draw people's attention back to a saving knowledge of God. And like this language that we find in Psalm 107 verse 20 is in those passages where like the word goes out and rescues them, right? And so what we have is not a God who's mean and who's like a Neanderthal, but we have a God who's seeking to save. It's like, you know, a God who's like, it's like a parent who's roaming the streets looking for the child who's hasn't come home by curfew. And instead of like sitting there, you know, popping their knuckles and fuming under their breath about all the hardships that their child gives them because of their waywardness, like, no, this parent's out there looking for their kids. And that seems to be the image that comes up in a psalm like Psalm 107 and some of the literature that we had that made it in and not in the Bible, and what we see in the testimony, the preaching of Jesus Christ in the early church. Like, there's this sense where God is a God who is on the move trying to find those who are lost, right? And we are thankful that that gospel continues to take root, right? It's something that we can bear witness to, that all of us were, you know, just living our own life. We thought we, you know, had things under control, and we thought we had all of reality figured out, but then something like a craving got louder and louder inside, and we could not resist, and we wanted to know what was behind all that craving. What was the voice of wisdom that was trying to reach out to us? And many of us have found that in the face of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at Psalm 107, it starts with thanksgiving, and then our reading went to a time of warning. But it ultimately is punctuated by this idea of rescue and redemption. And it ultimately leads our vision up and up until we behold the face of God, the benevolent one who draws us into his family, who draws us into freedom, and who draws us into this multifaceted health and wholeness that we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, brother and sister in Christ, do not wake up heavy, burdened, and laden today. Wake up with optimism and enthusiasm in our hearts, because we have been redeemed and saved. We've been ushered into the family of God, and we find ourselves here because we had a God who was so eager to seek and to save us. With those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for salvation that we find in Christ. We thank you that it goes before us, that you are the God who moved in our life before we even had the incentive of wanting to seek you. We are so thankful that you sought us and you drew us with your cords of kindness. You led us to repentance because of your love. And we find ourselves forgiven and free among the redeemed. And we thank you that we still have a mission in the earth, that we get to go from place to place, and we get to be those who proclaim and testify about the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and the forgiveness of sins. And so God, this day, during this season of Lent, as the church tries to practice lowliness and repentance and the transformation of heart and mind, we just simply pray that you would allow us to be at the front of the line there, that we would be so drawn to want to know Christ and the power of his love fresh and new. And we just pray that that would begin to leak out in, from our lives into the lives of others around us, in workplaces and schools and neighborhoods and communities. We just simply pray that we'd be amazed in the next weeks ahead about all the people who are stirred and who have their minds invigorated with wanting to seek God and know the holy things that we know. And so God, this day, help us to be bold proclaimers, help us to be servants of all, and help us to show the love of God to the ends of the earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.